This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, November 21st, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start with an off-the-beaten-path thing that certainly is the number one story from last night's sports world, and that is out in Grinnell, Iowa, at Grinnell College. You've probably heard about it by now. Jack Taylor, who had just transferred into Grinnell and was eligible to play now, scored 138 points in a college basketball game. Hard to fathom. Took 108 shots in a 40-minute college basketball game. Hard to fathom. Only played 36 minutes, by the way. Didn't play the whole game. Just stunning numbers. 52 of 108, 27 for 71 from three, 7 for 10. From the free throw line, no assists, 6 turnovers, 3 steals, 3 rebounds. Hard to fathom, but I will say this. I'm going to try to write an article about this afternoon because it's bothersome to me on a number of levels. Look, Grinnell has that reputation as a team that's run and gun. I think they've led, you know, the nation, or at least D3 in scoring. I don't know how you can compare these guys to a D1 team. If you've seen the film clips, you know there's not a whole lot of athleticism out there. Looks like every time he got the ball he shot, he did have no assists. But again, if you're hoisting up 108 shots in 36 minutes, well, there's not going to be much time to pass or set somebody up in the game. But seems to me, and I'm going to try and do a little research on this afternoon, Faith Baptist Bible, the losers, who dropped to 0-5, by the way, never played zone, never played box in one, never played triangle in two. They easily could have done some stuff to take the ball out of his hands or at least stop him from scoring. If a guy scores 58 and a half, and this is what he did, he had 58 at halftime, you might want to think about, you know, changing your defense a little bit. But again, all the film clips I saw, ESPN and other places, they played man-to-man. Now, maybe their coach is Bobby Knight, like, oh, we only play man-to-man. But I don't know if you're really playing man-to-man if you give up 179 points in a 40-minute college game. You might put one guy on one guy, but that's not man-to-man defense. That's no defense. So it's very interesting on a number of levels. Do I think it's wrong? Look, that's what these guys do. They run and gun. Could the Faith Baptist coach have said, you know, take the air out of the ball, shoot every 40 seconds? I guess he could, but he didn't. They scored 104. And they also have the greatest non-recognized performance, I think, in college basketball history. David Larson of Faith Baptist scored 70, but shot 34 for 44, which is a hell of a lot better percentage-wise than Jack Taylor. But whatever, it is what it is. An amazing achievement? Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. But, you know, these things smack of the other team not even trying. And I don't want to cast dispersions on the other team. Just, again, if you watch the highlights, you'll see there seems to be always one guy guarding him. He's always a step late, whoever's guarding him. And I'll say it again. If a guy scores 58 on you and you don't go boxing one at the half, well, you're just inviting him to score as much as he can score, and that's exactly what happened. So an interesting thing being heralded as an all-time performance. I don't even know if I'd agree with that. But that's how it is. Grinnell 179, Faith Baptist 104. Jack Taylor sets the all-time scoring record by scoring 138 points in a college game. Again, pretty stunning stuff, but I'm hoping to write an article with a little different perspective. Get to the real big boys in the NBA last night. Three interesting games on a number of levels, but the most interesting, Nets in L.A. to play the Lakers. Mike D'Antoni, finally his debut as a coach. the Lakers were 1-4 under Mike Brown, 4-1 under Bernie Bickerstaff. D'Antoni has been out there since Thursday, but did not actually coach the team until last night. Look, Brooklyn's a very good team. You know that Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, they got a big man who can play, Brook Lopez. They got Chris Humphries, who's a walking rebounder. He's an amazing rebounder and doesn't need the ball. But the Lakers are now starting to look like what you thought the Lakers would be, and that is without Steve Nash. But yesterday, Lakers pull away late, Lakers 95, Nets 90. Again, the Nets are a very good team. Not a good team, they're a very good team. But yesterday, things to me starting to round into shape. Dwight Howard, who's also rounding into shape, 23 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, 8 for 11 from the field, only 7 for 19 from the free throw line. But you know that's Dwight Howard's, you know, it's going to be Hacka Howard like it used to be Hacka Shaq in big games. Kobe Bryant is Kobe Bryant, 8 for 15, 25 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Kobe is going to lead this team. I picked him to win the NBA championship before all this craziness. From a championship-winning perspective, you'd rather have Phil Jackson coach the Lakers than Mike D'Antoni. But Mike D'Antoni has more talent here than he did in Phoenix. You know, everybody said what a great job he did in Phoenix. And, you know, I said he never got to an NBA Finals, never mind win an NBA championship. But hard to believe he's got even more talent here with the Lakers. With, of course, Bryant and Howard, Nash when he gets healthy, Pau Gasol, Meta World Peace, formerly Ron Artest, of course, an excellent defender. Yesterday goes 4 for 9 from 3. It was very interesting after the game. D'Antoni focused on Meta World Peace and said he should get 10 threes a game and he should make 4 of them. And if he does that, we're going to be fine. Yesterday, 4 for 9 from 3, 17 points, 8 rebounds. Gasol, 17 points, 11 rebounds. You can see the balance that this team has. And this is all without, not only without Steve Nash, but with the backup, Blake, who's a pretty good point guard in his own right. He's not playing anyway. So, well, he's injured. Nash is injured. Nash is supposed to come back in a week or so. But again, when these guys get some games under their belts. Never forget, Miami was 9-8 that first year with the big three. They didn't play together in training camp. They got beat in the NBA Finals. And then, of course, last year they won it all. I think the Lakers can do that, I think, because of their experience, the experience being Kobe, Gasol, Steve Nash, even Ron Artest, who's calmed down a little, still a little wacky, but calmed down a little, and Dwight Howard, a young veteran, frankly. I think they're going to be able to get over the early problems that they had and are having. Now they're back to 500. That's nothing to get excited about. They're actually over 500 at 6-5. But the future is very bright and it's very immediate. This is a team that can win a title this year. And if they can re-sign Howard, they're going to have another year or two with Kobe getting older and Nash getting older, but they can, and Gasol getting older. But they can do the job. Lakers 95. Nets 90, Lakers 6-5, Brooklyn drops to 6-3, but again, Brooklyn is very, very good. Brook Lopez yesterday, 23.7 rebounds. Williams, the point guard, Darren Williams, the most important guy on the team, 22 points. He only shot 6 for 18, but also 10 assists, 4 rebounds, complete player. Joe Johnson didn't shoot well either, but when your two stars shoot poorly, and that's Joe Johnson and Darren Williams. Johnson with 14, Williams with 22. And you take the Lakers down to the final minute or so. Well, that's a good sign for you on the road in Los Angeles. So the Lakers beat the Nets 95-90. I shouldn't say there were three interesting games yesterday. That was the most interesting game by far. The Knicks off that loss to Memphis. And then coming back for another victory, go out to down to New Orleans, and bury the Hornets. I mean, look, the Knicks are good. The Knicks' issue from a championship perspective is going to be what happens when Amari comes back. There's already articles in the New York papers. Mike Woodson says, oh, they can coexist, they can play together, but Woodson has to know, he saw it last year, that Amari can't play the four and move Carmelo to the three except for a very limited period of time. I'll say it again, Stoudemire shouldn't start. He just shouldn't start. You got to give Carmelo as much time as at the four as you can. and you can put Amare in when Carmelo's not in the game, and then maybe for like 10 minutes a game you can put Carmelo at the three where he is not nearly as good, because no four can match up with Carmelo Anthony, and you're seeing that virtually on a nightly basis. Last night the Knicks bury the Hornets 102-80. Carmelo 12 for 22 from the field, 29 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, he's played like a superstar. Felton, the point guard, has played very well for the Knicks. Yesterday, 15 points, 6 assists. 5 for 8 from 3 for Felton. Kidd is that steadying influence. He's probably only averaging in the low 20 minutes per game. But Kidd can still play, you know. Only 3 points yesterday, but 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. You know, that's Jason Kidd. And off the bench, J.R. Smith has been great this year. 15 points, 5 rebounds yesterday. The Knicks are a very good team. Can they threaten for a championship? Well, that remains to be seen. But right now, they've been unbelievable. Their record moves to 9-1. I mean, they're a very good team, the Knicks. New Orleans drops to 3-6. You know, their first-round pick, Davis, out of Kentucky, didn't play. He's got an ankle problem, and they're just not that good a team, frankly. Anderson leads them with 15 yesterday. Roberts off the bench with 13, but the Hornets aren't going anywhere this year. Knicks 102, Hornets 80. Knicks going the right way, Hornets going the wrong way. The third and final game, Raptors at the 76ers. Unfortunately for the 76ers in that big deal where they lost Dick Wadala, they did get Andrew Bynum, but he's still unable to play. I think we discussed the other day, his knee swelled up after he went bowling, so that's not a good sign for an NBA center, a seven-footer, guy who puts a lot of pounding on that knee when he plays basketball. If it swells up while you're bowling, I think it's going to be a while before he can play, but 76ers, of course, well coached by Doug Collins. They moved to 7-4 yesterday. They bury the Raptors. Well, bury them. They bury them in the fourth quarter, 33-18, to win going away, 106-98. Nick Young off the bench. He's a very good player, Nick Young, 7-13. Leads the team with 23 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. Again, they have a very, very interesting team. Jrue Holiday, 19 points, 12 assists. They don't have that superstar either. They're very well coached. You know, it's almost like a Denver situation, but in the East, excellent coach, a lot of good players, but I don't think any superstars. You know, a lot of people are Jrue Holiday. He's a very good point guard, but I don't think he's the guy. But we'll see. You know, they are 7-4. Obviously, they're a playoff team. Toronto, Bargnani with 22, DeRozan with 24. They're another team. They have some good players. Bargnani is a borderline star, not a superstar, but they have already dropped to 3-8. 76ers 106, Raptors 98, and again, Philly moves to 7-4. The Raptors drop to 3-8. So the focus is still on the Lakers. Another interesting thing, Dirk Nowitzki, who kind of ruins Dallas' season if he's not there. The reports are on his injury that he's just not ready to come back yet. You would have thought by now he would have been able to, but he said yesterday he's still about 2 weeks away just from getting back on the court to start running and shooting. He did have arthroscopic knee surgery October 19th, so he's already been out over a month. And again, it's the old, they say it's not a very serious surgery, but it's the old, it's not a serious surgery if it's not happening to you. So it is going to take him some time. Obviously, Nowitzki is older, but Dallas is going nowhere without him. I don't think they can win a championship with him. We discussed Mark Cuban, who, you know, everything broke right for him the 1 year when he won the championship, and then he stupidly let J.J. Barea go. More importantly, Tyson Chandler go. Even Deshaun Stevenson, he let him go, and, you know, Dallas couldn't be good after that last year, and they weren't. They were not a championship contender. They lost Jason Terry this year to the Celtics, so they're still not a championship contender, but they're not even a good team unless they have their superstar Dirk Nowitzki back playing on the court. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on sportstalknetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. sportstalknetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on sportstalknetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to switch now to the NFL. Got a few miscellaneous notes for you, but first, the three games tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern on CBS, Texans at the Lions. 4:15 Eastern on Fox, Redskins at the Cowboys. Obviously, the two traditional venues for football games on Thanksgiving. Also, in the new world of the NFL, 8:20 on NBC, 8:20 Eastern. The Patriots out at the Meadowlands to play the Jets. Interesting games all. The Lions desperate for a win. The Texans, one of the best teams in football, at least record-wise. The Redskins desperate for a win, but the Cowboys trying to catch the Giants. And don't forget, the Giants play Green Bay this Sunday. So the Giants played poorly before their bye week last week. They're only a game up. You know, this is what happens in the MFL, the Mediocre Football League. The Cowboys, who have not played very well, are 5-5, but they're only a game behind the Giants. And if the Giants lose to the Packers, it's a distinct possibility. And if the Cowboys can beat the Redskins at home, in Dallas, a distinct possibility. Well, then you'd have a tie of 6-5 teams. Don't forget, the Giants were 7-7, won their last two games, won the division by a game, won the Super Bowl. This is how it is nowadays. As for the Jets, they saved their season. I didn't think they could beat the Rams the way the Rams had been playing, but they did. They at least made themselves relevant, but with six losses now, if they lose to the Patriots tomorrow, that'll be their seventh loss of the year. And I think effectively eliminate them, maybe not mathematically, but effectively eliminate them from playoff contention. However, the Patriots got that big blow you saw on Sunday. Gronkowski, after sitting out the final touchdown drive when the Patriots scored their they had 52 and they scored another touchdown, but Gronkowski somehow, Belichick took a lot of grief, but I guess he'd say this is what the guy does. But if you're going to take him out for the final drive, I would think it would make sense to take him out for an extra point. But he went back in for the extra point, just blocking on the edge. He broke his forearm. He's out 4 to 6 weeks, a huge blow to the Patriots. Now, Tom Brady's Tom Brady. He's got a ton of weapons. Oh, by the way, Aaron Hernandez, not Gronkowski, but an excellent tight end in his own right. He's coming back. But the Patriots really don't need this game as bad as the Jets. The Jets needed to save the season and give Rex Ryan credit. The Jets have always played the Patriots tough, except for maybe one game since he's been the Jets coach. So I'll pick a game for you on Friday. We're doing a show on Friday, which is pretty cool. The day after Thanksgiving, most people are off. We'll be doing the show Friday at noon Eastern as well. And, of course, as always, I'll give you a game against the spread on Friday. But those are the three games. Tomorrow, Texans at Lions, Redskins at Cowboys, Patriots at the Jets. A few other NFL notes. If you saw, Ed Reed was supposed to be suspended for a game this week because he has three hits to the head in the last three seasons. But Ted Cottrell, the former Jet coach who was now, you know, one of the NFL deans of discipline, or he listens to these appeals, Ed Reed appeal, and Ted Cottrell said what Ed Reed did was egregious, that's a quote, but not egregious enough, apparently, to warrant a one-game suspension. So instead of a suspension, Ed Reed will be fined $50,000, which, you know, $50,000 to these guys is simply not a lot of money. So more importantly for the Ravens, Ed Reed will still play this coming Sunday. And he had some strange things to say, you know, it's not over between me and the league, blah, blah, blah. And he did say, you know, this is the player's mentality, and to some degree it has to be. You know, he essentially said, look, you play football, it's a violent sport, you're going to have head-to-head collisions, people are going to get concussions, that's the game. And if you wanted to stop concussions in football, you'd have to stop football. So an interesting, if you get to hear Ed Reed's comments, interesting perspective by him. Obviously a bright guy who's played the game for a long time and is a Hall of Famer once he hangs him up. But he seems offended, as some of these guys do, and you could argue with that mentality correctly, that you're kind of taking the violence out of a violent game, and certainly that's what the NFL is doing, especially with the 4,000 now, I think, plaintiffs of former players who are suing the NFL because of the concussion issue. But Ed Reed's had some really, frankly, blunt statements that you don't really hear all the time. A few other things, Jim Harbaugh, who had that irregular heartbeat issue last week and came right back to practice, coached on Monday, canceled his media phone call today. He had a follow-up meeting with his doctor. But the real news in San Francisco is there's now a swing. There are some people who think Colin Kaepernick is going to be a better quarterback for the 49ers going forward than Alex Smith. Smith missed last week with the 49ers, and Kaepernick was unbelievable against the Bears. You know, we've already seen him run the Wildcat and do well, but he threw it as well against the Bears, which was really surprising. So now there's a real behind-the-scenes issue. Who's a better quarterback to lead the 49ers? I picked them to win the Super Bowl, as you know, at the beginning of the year. But which quarterback is going to be better? They think now that even if Smith is going to be ready, they're going to let Kaepernick start against the New Orleans Saints, and they're going to say it's out of precaution. But the buzz underneath the radar, if you will, is that they think Kaepernick might be the guy to lead them. A few other interesting things in football. Plaxico Burress back with the Steelers, his first team. Charlie Batch is going to start. His left, which is hurt after Big Ben got hurt. So Charlie Batch to Plaxico Burress, it's like turn back the clock time. But Burress can play. I mean, look, he's 6'5". You know, they say he doesn't have the speed he once had. Plaxico Burress was never a speed burner. If you hear that, you're hearing it from someone who doesn't know. But he is that 6'4", 6'5 guy who can get up in the end zone. He was always Eli Manning, safety valve, throw it up to Plaxico. He can go up and get it, that kind of stuff. So he's now back with the Steelers, which was his first NFL team, and he'll be playing this Sunday. A few other things. Hector Macho Camacho, four-time world champion in three different weight classes. Has had, you know, been in and out of trouble with the law since he retired a few years ago. Camacho yesterday shot in the jaw. The bullet went down into his shoulder, fractured two vertebrae. Originally, the reports were he was in critical but stable condition, but the latest report just like 45 minutes ago, just before I came on the air, is Camacho now had a heart attack this morning on top of everything else. He's now on life support, and the prognosis is not good. 3 hours ago, the prognosis was critical but stable. He'll recover. 45 minutes ago, he had a heart attack this morning. He's on life support, and it doesn't look like he's going to make it. Camacho, controversial, but a great boxer. Macho Camacho, as you know, 79-6-3 with 38 knockouts in his career. Again, held four different belts in three different weight classes. I know how it's gotten in boxing in the last 25 years. They've kind of ruined the sport with so many different weight classes, but Camacho was a champion. Born in Puerto Rico near San Juan, grew up in Spanish Harlem, was shot in his hometown near San Juan, Puerto Rico yesterday. Another man was killed in the shooting, so they don't know it was a drive-by. They don't know if it was meant for Camacho or somebody else. They're still investigating, but Hector Camacho, as of 45 minutes ago, doesn't look like he's going to make it. A few other things, David Beckham leaving the LA Galaxy of Major League Soccer, said, "I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve. You know, others are going to talk about what my impact was, but I can tell you that MLS, Major League Soccer, is being talked about all over the world." A baseball note, the Yankees signed Hiroki Kuroda to a one-year, $15 million deal. Kuroda was great for the Yankees this past year. 33 starts, 16 wins, probably their best pitcher from beginning to end. Worked for $10 million last year, gets a 50% raise to $15 million this year. A few other things quickly. College football, the big game. We'll talk a little more on Friday since we're going to have a show. Notre Dame on the road at USC. If Notre Dame wins, they're in the championship game. They're 11-0. USC, a big disappointment this year, 7-4, 0-3 against ranked teams. And to make it worse for USC, Matt Barkley is not going to play. Max Whittick, a redshirt freshman, is going to play. He's had a lot of big things to say, including we're going to win this game. That's Saturday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. Again, we'll talk about that more on Friday. College basketball yesterday, a couple of interesting games. Indiana and Georgetown playing in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. Georgetown gives them all they can handle, but number one, Indiana, comes back to win in overtime. Indiana 82, Georgetown 72. Otto Porter brought Georgetown all the way back to tie up the game with like 4 seconds left. He had 15 points, but Indiana, you know, Zeller, their big man, some people think the player of the year, 17 points, 8 rebounds. Jordan Hull, 17 points as well. Indiana draws away in the overtime to maintain their undefeated status. Indiana 82, Georgetown 72. Of course, Georgetown has a good team, as always, a tough, gritty team, coached by John Thompson III. And Indiana, Tom Crean is an excellent coach as well. Indiana, number one in the country. One other upset yesterday. Butler upsets number 9, UNC at the Maui Invitational. Butler 82, UNC 71. Clark and Dunham lead Butler with 17 apiece. Hairston leads North Carolina off the bench with 15. Number 11, UCLA, comes back to beat Georgia 60-56, 21 points in 28 minutes for Shabazz Mohammed. Quickly to the TV tonight. NBA basketball, ESPN, Clippers at the Thunder at 7:30. If you get MSG, the Knicks are down in Dallas to play the Mavericks. Of course, again, the Mavericks without Dirk Nowitzki, so the Knicks are getting them at the right time. 10:30, Nets at the Warriors. That's on the YES Network. And again, if you're a New York guy or a New York fan, the Knicks and Nets, both very, very good team. A number of tournament college basketball games tonight, ESPN2, CBS Sports Network, but I think the best game to watch would be the championship game of the Maui Invitational, 10 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, and that's going to be Butler and Illinois. This is the Steve Callis Show. Happy Thanksgiving to all. We'll talk to you on Friday. This is SportsTalkNetwork.com.